In the early 2000s, a quiet revolution began reshaping our media landscape. While established newspapers still printed on dead trees and journalists believed they controlled information flow, the humble blog emerged from digital shadows to challenge journalism's most sacred assumptions. This wasn't just a technological shift, it was a fundamental power transfer. For decades, newspapers and television networks operated as both democratic cornerstones and commercial enterprises built on monopolistic tendencies. Their business model created journalism's original sin. Audiences weren't customers to be served, but products to be sold to advertisers. Media organizations produced punters the way factories produced widgets. This arrangement made many rich and powerful, but created a fundamentally flawed relationship with audiences. When your audience is merely a demographic category rather than individuals with needs, you view them through a distorted lens. This self-deception was sustained by lack of competition, starting newspapers was prohibitively expensive, and the Fourth Estate mythology. Just enough examples of good investigative journalism convinced media of its integrity, despite becoming the very type of powerful institution it claimed to monitor. The internet changed everything. As readers migrated online, newspaper circulation plummeted. Online advertising proved worth far less than print, and classified ads found new homes on specialized websites. The passive recipients suddenly became active participants in news production and dissemination. The Iraq War marked a pivotal shift in media history. While mainstream outlets failed to challenge the Bush administration's false case for war, amateur bloggers effectively questioned the evidence, causing audiences to doubt established media. Social media empowered ordinary citizens to scrutinize journalism itself. Rather than addressing fundamental problems, mainstream media attacked new media practitioners, delaying necessary business model changes. Journalists had cultivated an image as tough outsiders immune to criticism, a persona that worked when journalism didn't require direct audience relationships. This arrangement collapsed as journalists lost control of the news. Audiences gained direct access to raw material through YouTube, press releases, and social media footage, allowing them to see how media shaped stories while forcing journalists to acknowledge the audience's active role. Blogs succeeded where journalism failed because they weren't constrained by access relationships. They could analyze public documents, evaluate expert opinions, and scrutinize official statements without fear of being cut off by sources. In the early 2000s, Fairfax journalist Margot Kingston created Australia's first political blog, facilitating genuine dialogue between journalists and readers. Web Diary challenged journalism's traditional power structures through audience participation. Kingston's transparent approach shared journalists' questions to officials, published readers' opinions on controversial topics, and built a community around political discussion. This transparency violated professional norms, provoking resistance from media management. Tensions grew during political controversies. Executives received complaints from the Prime Minister's office, controversial pieces were temporarily removed, and ABC canceled Kingston's regular segment. By 2005, her publisher proposed eliminating Web Diary's interactive elements, removing Kingston's ethics code, reader contributions, and requiring editorial oversight of her posts. When an editor attempted to modify her content, Kingston pulled the pin and went indie. She was 15 years ahead of her peers, functioning as a gatekeeper who included ordinary citizens in the national conversation, a role no Australian mainstream journalist has matched since. Blogs represented a new form of democratic citizenship, not just alternative journalism. Before blogs, the public was reduced to statistical data points between elections, expected to shut up and leave everything to our betters. Elites typically viewed ordinary citizens as too uninformed for meaningful participation in public debate. The breakthrough wasn't just finding alternative information sources, but how we presented that information, talking with readers rather than at them. We stepped outside top-down news dissemination, making it radically amateur and subjecting journalists to the same scrutiny they applied to others. The fundamental difference between bloggers and journalists was that we were readers while they were callers. Early bloggers often came from academic backgrounds where looking things up was standard practice, while journalists were trained to use the phone. Our approach offered transparency. We integrated corrections directly into posts and linked to opposing viewpoints rather than burying amendments on page 18 weeks later. By 2005, despite exposing weaknesses in commercial media and government deception, our discussions had little practical impact. Wars continued, and Bush, Howard, and Blair won second terms. Yet something fundamental had shifted. Readers were no longer passive consumers, but active participants in news discourse. As social media expanded, traditional media increasingly portrayed their audience as adversaries. Trolling became a convenient label for any online behavior journalists disliked, revealing the power dynamic between media gatekeepers and vocal readers. In 2012, major newspapers launched anti-trolling campaigns that positioned media professionals as victims while targeting Twitter but ignoring similar behavior in their own comment sections. This stance exposed the true motivation, a territorial dispute between established media institutions and emerging social platforms. While defending their own expression rights, traditional outlets expressed alarm at audiences' growing ability to challenge their work in real time. By expanding trolling to include virtually any criticism, media organizations attempted to reassert control over public discourse. The civility debate masked a fundamental power struggle, with genuine abuse often weaponized to delegitimize legitimate criticism. Creating healthy online communities blends art with science. Early bloggers found comment moderation rewarding yet challenging. Managing volume while maintaining relationships with strangers and facilitating discussions on divisive topics. Unlike traditional media's outsourced moderation, successful bloggers personally hosted discussions where readers gathered as equals, creating spaces for people to be heard by those in power. This approach created unsustainable intensity, as maintaining relationships with hundreds of commenters discussing personal political views formed connections requiring constant attention. Communities adapted by introducing lighter topics where political opponents could find common ground. The libertarian's dilemma soon emerged. Unregulated free speech actually undermines freedom for quieter members. Yet, with proper nurturing, communities can become largely self-policing, with regular readers addressing problematic behavior, showing how digital communities develop their own standards when given time to mature. For democracy to thrive digitally, we must reimagine media-citizen interactions. Despite unprecedented surveillance of reader habits, many legacy outlets struggle to survive. This paradox stems from how the political class interprets audience data, concluding people are disinterested in politics, then creating content that reinforces this assumption. Media organizations often misinterpret metrics rather than questioning their presentation approach. The issue isn't that people are disinterested in news, over 80% regularly consume it, but that they're disengaged from how politics is conducted and reported. Citizens need meaningful participation in public discussions for democracy to function. Democracies need mainstream media more than citizen journalists, but that media needs transformation. They must reimagine news gathering and presentation while preserving Fourth Estate functions. The path forward requires courage. Journalists must listen to audiences before writing stories, not just count clicks afterward. In a world where everyone has a platform, journalism's future depends on building genuine community relationships. The question isn't whether citizens need journalism, it's whether journalism is ready to truly serve citizens.